Luke chapter 1 and verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." If you'll turn on down into the chapter, verse number 57, we'll skip over the part about the angel and Mary and her visit to her cousin, and we'll read the rest of this story, verse 57. "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, 'Not so, but he shall be called John.' And they said unto her, 'There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father how he would have him called, and he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, 'His name is John.' And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea." Heavenly Father, what an amazing story. What a blessing to read. And Lord, we see this wonderful connection. We're going to look at it this morning between your wonderful son Jesus and this his forerunner, his cousin John. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to look at the example of this man, this miracle child. And Lord, may we be for Jesus in this day and age what John was for him when he was here on earth. Challenge our hearts during this Christmas season, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, how two cousins changed the world. How two cousins changed the world. Luke chapter 1, verse number 39 through 45, and then again we read 57. You can read all the way down to the end of the chapter. Of course, there's more material here than I read, but this chapter represents to us and introduces to us two ladies, one by the name of Elizabeth and one by the name of Mary. Elizabeth had been married for many years and was old and stricken in age. Mary was just espoused or engaged and getting ready to begin a married life. Both of them were childless. Both of them, by the time this chapter ends, is found with child, and both of their babies were miracles. I think it's a wonderful thing when God chooses to open the womb of a barren woman. And many of the ladies in this room for many years of their life was unable to have children, and they sought the Lord and besought the Lord, and God performed a miracle and opened their womb and allowed them to have children. It's not always the will of God that that happens, but what a blessing when it does. Elizabeth was barren, unable to have children, now well up in age, and it seemed like the prospects of them ever having children was gone away. But you know what I like about this? Zacharias never stopped praying. And we know that because the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." It may not be a child, but it may be something that you've been praying for some time. And you know what? We as Christians sometimes get to the point where we begin to despair if God's going to answer our prayer. Can I say this, folks? God does hear your prayers. And God does have an answer. And sometimes the answer does not come in the same time frame that we wish it would come in. But let me just say this. Wait upon the Lord. Be patient. Be of good courage. Don't fear. God is a prayer hearing God, and God is a prayer answering God. And I thank God that Zacharias understood the Bible principle of importunity. Here he is praying way past when most men would have stopped praying, and God heard his prayer. So we have two ladies, one Elizabeth, one Mary, and both found with child, and both of their babies were a miracle. Now, I will say this. One of these babies are infinitely superior to the other. And by the way, one cousin would tell you that the other one's superior. And it's hard to find two cousins that would agree on that anywhere on the planet, let alone brothers and sisters. But God gave Elizabeth this baby for a reason. She was married yet barren, unable to conceive a child. God blessed her and her husband, Zechariah, allowed them to be blessed with the miracle of a baby. Elizabeth went from being a barren to buying baby clothes. How about that? Mary was unmarried, although she was espoused or promised to a young man named Joseph. Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel. We read about that last week, and told that although she was a virgin, the Holy Spirit was going to place the Son of God in her womb, and that she would be blessed to bear the Messiah. And I love the story of these two ladies. We saw last week in verse number 39, and I didn't read that, so if you want to glance back down there, that Mary, once she got news that God had chosen her to bear the Christ child, she arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, notice this first confrontation, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." If you jump down to verse 56, the Bible says Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now she went there, and in that day when you took a trip, it took some effort to get someplace. So when you got there, you tended to stay. Plus, you say, what did these gals do for 3 months? You know what they did. Good night, both of them pregnant, both of them expecting their first child. Can you imagine all the yakety-yak-yak that went on in this place? I mean, they start on a conversation that didn't stop for 3 months. Probably Zacharias had to chase her out with a stick to get her back home to her own husband. But they were both excited and thrilled. Not just the prospect of both of them having their first child, but the amazing, miraculous moving of God in their life. And here we see two ladies expecting at the same time. Two Christmas cousins are going to be born. One's going to be a little older, precede the other one by about 6 months, but both of them will be intertwined for the rest of their life. They'll be latched together because they've been brought together for a purpose. We have no reason to believe that in the next 30 years they ever met. Think about that. We have no reason to believe that in the next 30 years they ever met. We saw the encounter between the two children, but the two children were unborn at this time. Think about that. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. What a remarkable thing. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, then had to escape immediately to Egypt and then to Nazareth to work under Joseph as a carpenter. John took a Nazarite vow, was raised in the wilderness, prepared by God to be the prophet that would introduce the Savior of the world to the world. He would be a plain man with a plain diet and wilderness clothing. 30 years after this, Christmas baby leaped in his mother's womb. He would stand with the Christmas child and tell us some wonderful things about Jesus Christ. I'd like you to fast forward with me to the next encounter that they had, and we'll read about that in John chapter number 1. Can we fast forward 30 years now? John, the Gospel of John chapter number 1. Here we see now two men, not two babies, not two unborn babies in their mother's womb. We see two men, John the Baptist, for 30 years have been prepared, being prepared to be the prophet, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, to enter, to introduce Jesus Christ to the world. And we read about this encounter in John chapter number 1, verse 15. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' He confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to him that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?' He said this." I love this. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" What an amazing, amazing meeting. Two mamas 30 years ago, sitting around a table for 3 months, chatting about being new mommies and talking about what God has done and the miracles that he's performed. And now these two babies meet as grown men. I got to thinking this week, and I wrote this down. This is what I said after meditating on this. Here's the thought that God gave me. Here it is, folks. Maybe this will be an encouragement to you. I guess there's no way that any of us, I know it's true of me, I guess there's no way of any that any of us can be exactly like Jesus. But you know what? If we work hard at it, we might be able to be like John. I can never be Jesus, but I can be a John. And I want to talk about Jesus' Christmas cousin. What was it that was so special about John? Well, John, here it is. John would tell the world that Jesus was the Messiah. Think about that. It was his privilege, his honor to be the one in verse number 15 that told about Jesus being the Messiah. He said, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me." Now folks, listen to me. In this Christmas season, could we all be like John in this regard? Let's let the world know that the Messiah has come. Let's let the world know that the Savior has been born. John would be the one that would be privileged to point and say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." John did not live for himself. He lived for one purpose. He knew that because of the story that his mom and dad told him concerning his miraculous conception and birth, that he has been given by God to this earth for a divine purpose. He saw no greater goal in life than to just simply stand and point people to Jesus Christ. Now, God has not called all of us to be preachers and all of us to be prophets. And, of course, nobody in this room's given the unique privilege of being the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can all be voices that are pointing people to Jesus. Jesus would tell the world, John would tell the world that Jesus was the Messiah. I'm going to ask everybody to do this Christmas season. I'm going to ask you to please, please, please make a promise before Almighty God that somewhere in the course of the holiday season you will find the time to tell some lost person the greatest story that they could ever be told, the story of salvation. You say, preacher, I haven't been saved very long and I haven't been trained. I don't have that skill set. I understand that there's people in the church that can take a Bible and go to the right verses and explain the right things and show somebody biblically how to be saved, and I don't have that skill set. Listen to me. You have a story. If you're saved, you have a story. You may not be able to figure out all the right verses to go to, but you know what? With all sincerity, you can look at somebody and say, listen, during this Christmas season, God laid you on my heart. And could I just take a minute and tell you about the greatest day of my life, the greatest thing that ever happened to me? And you can tell about how there was that day when God brought you under conviction of sin and you realized that you weren't saved. You can tell about that day when you were introduced to Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, that you understood that He was perfect, the perfect Son of God, and He lived a perfect life. That you understood and believed that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Would you please be John? Can we all just for this season choose to be John, to be the person that tells somebody else about Jesus? John would tell the world that Jesus was the Messiah. That's not all. Let me tell you something else about John. I can never be Jesus, but I can be John. I can tell people about Jesus. Number one, I can never be Jesus, but I can be John. In this regard, John would refuse to talk about himself, but only of Jesus Christ. Did you notice verse number 19? This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I like that. It's probably good for each and every one of us to say that from time to time. You say, preacher, that's obvious. I heard a man say this. I had to laugh. An older man said this. He said, I've learned two things in my life. Number one, there is a God. Number two, I'm not him. And I thought, what a great lesson to learn. May we not wait to be old before we realize, number one, there is a God, and number two, I'm not him. Many, many people, although they might not ever form the words with their mouth, they live their lives as if they are God, as if there is no God but them. And they make decisions outside of the will of God and out in contrary to the word of God. And they live life, even though they may profess to believe in God, they live a life that resembles that of an atheist as far as their refusal to acknowledge God in everyday life. Young people, let me just give you something that you ought to get real good in your hearts. You know what? John the Baptist wasn't a braggart or a boaster. He wasn't into self-promotion. He wasn't always walking around talking about the things he had done, the things he'd accomplished, and all the wonderful things all the wonderful things about him. Matter of fact, you don't find John saying much at all about himself. One of the things that I listen to and hear a lot in this day and age is people that always want to spend their time. Come on, you're probably thinking about somebody. Every time you have an encounter with them, you know what it's going to be. It's going to be one subject and one subject alone, and the subject that they're going to speak upon is themselves and who they are and what they've done and what they've accomplished and all of the things that they have. And you know, you get to the point where you really don't want to see that person, or if you can avoid a conversation with that person, you try to avoid a conversation with that person. Let me just say this, I've learned it. You know who does that? Insecure people do that. Insecure people's always got to build up themselves. Insecure people's always got to talk about themselves. Insecure people's always got to try to make themselves sound bigger and better than they are. You know, one of the great things that you can learn in life is just a true-hearted humility. And you know what? If we're going to talk about somebody all the time, let me give you a suggestion. Let's talk about Jesus. If we want to talk about how great somebody is, let's talk about Jesus. If we want to talk about how wonderful somebody is, let's talk about Jesus. If we want to talk about great accomplishments, maybe we ought to talk more about Jesus. John would refuse to talk of himself, but only of Jesus Christ. He wasn't into self-promotion. He wasn't out there trying to make a name for himself. This is good for the pulpit and it's good for the pew. I look at many ministries and I see that in some ministries there seems to be a constant PR campaign being run, and it seems like the important thing in that ministry is to get the name of their preacher out. I don't think it's wrong for people to know who pastors Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If you look real hard, squint kind of with one eye, you can probably find my name on the sign out there somewhere, and that's fine. But you know what, folks? Here's the thing. We've spent so much time, I think, in this day and age promoting men that we forgot who this thing's all about. There's one important name here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Preacher, you say this all the time. I know, and I'm going to say it again right now. There's one important name right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. Lift him up. Lift him up. He said this to his disciples, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so my job's not to lift myself up. My job's to lift him up. Are you serving the Lord at some capacity at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Listen, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. God blessed you in some unusual way. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Has God allowed you to see somebody saved? To God be the glory, great things he hath done. God used you in some area that's remarkable. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. One of the things we learn about John here is, you know what? He didn't mind being the older cousin that promoted the younger. The older cousin that promoted the younger. Let me just say this, and I want to talk to you just real practically. Children, young people, look right up here. And let me have your eyes. Let me have your heart. You know what I see a lot in families? And some people say, well, it's normal. No, it's natural, and we ought to live supernatural. It's natural, and we ought to live supernatural. You know, I'd love to see brothers and sisters rooting for each other. I'd love to see brothers and sisters encouraging each other. There's way too much sibling rivalry going on. We don't learn this from John. John doesn't say, well, just because I'm related to him, then I've got to put him down all the time and I've got to pretend to be better than him. Listen, when something good happens to one of your brothers or your sisters, be glad about it. I mean that. Be glad about it. Be thrilled about it. Rejoice with them. Something good comes their way, you know what? Be glad about it. Don't get jealous. Don't get envious. Somebody pays them a little special attention. Mom and dad does something special for them. Don't go over and sulk and pout. You know what? You didn't do that when they did something special for you. And I just like to, you know what? You know, I think God would like to hear within our family unit, sisters encouraging sisters and brothers encouraging brothers and sisters encouraging brothers. And even though this is hard, and brothers encouraging sisters. Hey, let's root for each other. Let's be glad for each other. You know what? First of all, you ought to be glad that you got brothers and sisters. Say, oh, I wish I was an only child. You ought to go talk to only children. I've never met an only child that didn't want brothers and sisters. I never met one with brothers and sisters that didn't want to be an only child. That's just kind of the way we humans are. No matter what we have, we wish we had something different. But you don't be glad about that. Well, we've got a big family, and it's just there's too many kids, and they borrow all my stuff. You ought to be thankful for that. I mean that. You are blessed if you are part of a big family. You ought to love your brothers. You ought to love your sisters. You ought to seek ways to be a blessing to them. I mean, we don't see this rivalry between these two cousins. We don't see one. And by the way, you know what? John talked up Jesus, but watch this. Jesus talked up John. He did. Remember what he said about his cousin? They asked him about John, and he said, let me tell you something. There's never been born a greater amongst women, a greater prophet amongst women than John the Baptist. You know what? John lifted up Jesus, and Jesus reached over and lifted up John. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says if we abase ourselves, he'll exalt us. If we exalt ourselves, he has to abase us. You know what? A person, watch this, a person who is willing to lift up Christ, you know what? Christ will lift them up. Christ will see to it that they're taken care of. They said, well, what's your name? We got to have an answer to this. Are you Elias? No, I'm not Elias. He said, art thou that prophet? No. And they said to them, well, who art thou? We got to give an answer. Somebody sent us. We need an answer. We got to go back and tell them who you are. You know what he said? He said this. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And so what did he say? He said this. He said, you don't need to know my name. My name's not really important. I've done this before, and I'm going to do it again, just show you. And I do this every once in a while, just kind of hit a reset button. You know, I'm not trying to discourage you. But folks, listen to me. There's too much of this lift me up, lift me up, lift me up. There needs to be more lift Jesus. Well, I need to know. I'm going to make sure everybody knows who I am. All right, let me hit a reset button in your life, okay? I've done this before. How many of you know the names of your parents? That's good. That would be discouraging if you didn't know that. How many know all, first name and last, all the names, first name and last, of your grandparents, first name and last? All right. A few dropped off. How many of you know, and by the way, I may call on you. How many of you know first name and last, all of the names of your great-grandparents? Raise your hand. A few of you. Ancestry.com, amen. How many of you know the first and last name of all of your great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents? Maybe a few. Now, the vast majority of people dropped off pretty quick there, and this is what I always say. Watch this. Jerry Ross, this is what I say to myself every once in a while, hit a reset button. Jerry Ross, 2 generations from now, 3 generations at the most, nobody's going to remember your name. Nobody's going to remember your name. You spend your entire life trying to make a name. And unless you're George Washington, it just isn't looking good for you. I mean, Abraham Lincoln did okay. There's a few exceptions, but for the most part, come on. Listen, folks, I guess I can spend my life trying to make a name for me that's going to be forgotten in 2 generations, or I can spend my life trying to make a name for him, and you know what? That baton will be passed from generation to generation, and we received it, and we'll pass it on, and to God be the glory, great things he hath done. No, I really don't matter who knows who I am or who doesn't know who I am or what they think about me one way or another. What really matters when we get to heaven is how many people did we tell about Jesus? Hey, does it matter how well-known Blessed Hope Baptist Church is? I mean, you know, outside of this community and maybe a few exceptions of some preacher friends. I don't imagine there's too many people that know Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Jasonville, Indiana. But you know what's important? That's not really what's important. You know, 100 years from now, it doesn't matter how many people knew Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It matters how many people knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let's lift him up. John, cousin John, what do you got to say about your younger cousin? He's the Messiah. What have you got to say about your younger cousin? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. What do you have to say about yourself? I don't really want to talk about myself. I just want to talk about Jesus. John would tell the world that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that Jesus was the Son of God. Look in verse number 32. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto him, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Whatever lingering human doubts that John may have had, he knew this. He knew that God had told him that as he baptized there at the Jordan River, that the one he baptized, and when he brought him up out of the water, a dove would descend upon him, that was the Son of God. So whatever lingering doubts he had, it was taken away. Wasn't it neat that John, the older cousin, got to baptize Jesus Christ? I mean, you talk about a baptismal service. One of those down by the river baptismal services. How many of you were baptized in a creek or a river or a lake or a pond or a stripper pit around here? I don't know about that. We ought to just do that one time this summer. Let's vote on it right now. Who wants to do an outside baptism one time this summer? Who wants to do it in January? Who wants to volunteer to be the one baptized in January? Oh, all right. I got these guys, they're always in for something. But, I mean, this is one of those down-by-the-river baptisms where, you know, before we had it in the church house, little country churches all over America, people would get saved, and then once or twice a month, they'd schedule a baptism, and everybody knew that after church, you just followed the preacher's car, and you went a mile down this gravel road and 2 miles down this one and around the curve, and then there where the black cow is by the red barn, you take a left, and you go on down to the bottom, and to the bottom of the hill and the holler, and there's a creek that runs through there, and there's a place to park over. And the farmer said he'd leave the gate open and we can walk over. And we want to make sure, of course, that we're baptizing upstream of where he has his cattle. That's always a good thing. And we find a place deep enough to have baptismal service. At Rock Run Baptist Church, many, many a time, as a little boy, my memories is heading down, following the caravan after church to the little creek. And you know what? People would gather out there and they'd begin to sing. Somebody would start singing, "Trust and Obey When We Walk with the Lord in the Light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on the way." And they'd sing the song, a stanza of that. As they're singing it, the preacher would go out and the first baptismal candidate would go out. And you know what? After we'd sing a verse, we'd stop and the preacher would raise his hand and say the appropriate words and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And boy, they'd come out of the water and people would rejoice. And as they're coming out of the water, the next stanza of Trust and Obey would fire up and we'd sing another one. That gave people time to switch out. And oh, great memories. John the Baptist got to baptize a lot of people. Boy, he got to baptize Jesus Christ. I want to leave you this with this one thought. What did we learn from John the Baptist? Here's what I'm thinking is. You know what? You say, "Preacher, you know what? God never called me to be an evangelist or a missionary. God never called me to go out and be used in maybe an exceptional way." Let me just say this. You can win somebody that God might call to be a missionary. You can win somebody that God might call to be a preacher. You can win somebody that God might call to be an evangelist, to do some extraordinary thing. And you know what? You just never know. We've seen a lot of folks baptized in the last several weeks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We see children brought from children's church, and sometimes they're brought to the front, and somebody may look and say, "Well, look, there's a little 8-year-old girl, a little 9-year-old boy, and isn't it good that they got saved?" And I think everybody in here sincerely rejoices over that. But how do we know? How do we know where they'll be? It may not be very many years. And you know what? God puts his good hand and his good grace upon that young man or that young lady and call them into the gospel ministry. One of the fun things that I enjoyed doing, and I appreciate it, Brother Joe has done a good job. He sends our prayer list out through email now. And if you want to get our prayer list, everything that comes in on Sunday, if you want to get that, just send to your email. If you'll see Brother Joe, raise your hand so they'll know who to talk to. Go see him, give him your email address, and you can get every Monday and usually twice a week, you'll get an update on the prayer request. But one of the things that he's done is put a list of the people that have come through Blessed Hope Baptist Church that is now serving across this nation in different capacities, serving the Lord. I was thinking, Ashley, she's gonna get home, right, this Christmas? I'm trying to picture her pregnant. I'm just having yeah. When is she due? Let me forget that. When is she due? Brother Tom's not going to know. April 25th. So you girls tell me, and I'm going to try to be careful and not get in trouble. But so will she be pretty fat by Christmas? How fat will she be? Not that much? Not really all that much? Oh, man. All right. Okay. Well, we've got a little redheaded girl that was raised around here. You know what? God's using her to be a youth pastor's wife up in Michigan. And I was thinking of this morning as I'm praying in my office, thank God, you know what? I got on the other side of the county a son-in-law and a daughter. My daughter raised right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. By the way, if you were my daughter's Sunday school teacher at some point, raise your hand and wave like this, Sunday school teacher. Hannah, Sunday school teacher. How about a Christian school teacher? All right, there you go. Thank you. Look right up here. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You taught her at Master's Club. Taught her in Master's Club. Thank you. I mean that from all my heart. Thank you. You know, hey, we don't know what God's doing with these kids around here. We don't know what God's. You may not look at these little kids and think, "Oh, you don't know. You don't know." I mean, I showed up at this church. Good night. Good. It's been almost 18 years ago, and preached a youth revival, and had a teenage boy fall under conviction. Not come forward, but afterwards found his bus cap and sat back there on the back row and get saved. And you know what he's doing this morning? He's preaching in a pulpit in Rhode Island. What I'm saying is, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? John baptized a lot of people, and one of them was Jesus. We baptize a lot of people and see a lot of people saved around here. And you know what? Some go on to serve the Lord in a great way, and some go on to just be faithful church members. And you know what? Could I say this? That's a great thing too. That's a great thing. Whatever God's will for your life is a great thing. You say, well, preacher, some of them fall by the wayside. Well, I think the Bible talked about that in the parable of the sower, that, you know what, not all of them is going to come to fruit bearing, but you know what? Enough of them do that I just want to keep doing it. I just want to keep doing it. There's other young people. Don't be offended if I, you know what, here we got in Montana, a young lady married to a preacher, and you know what? I don't know what time, would it be there? It's about 2 hours behind, is that right? 2 hours behind, so it's almost 20 till 10, which means Derek is just getting out of bed right now, and he's had Rebecca out starting the car, and she's over warmed the church up, and probably has been working on his sermon, but Derek's probably crawling out of bed right now, and we want to make sure Derek gets this message too. And I mean, do you get this? Do you get this? Hey, folks, listen to me. You go spend your life doing whatever you want to. If the world's all that great, hey, go have at it. I mean, you know, if you're foolish enough, just go wild hog. Go on. Oh, really? I mean, if you're just determined to, I guess just go do it. But I'm going to tell you something. Thank God for John. And thank God for men and ladies like John. That, you know what? God put his good hand upon him in his mother's womb. And called him to do something that was extraordinary. And you know what? He didn't miss it. He didn't miss God's perfect will. And let me say to each and every one of you, you'll be wise not to miss it. Young people, you'll be wise not to miss it. Well, a couple of cousins, boy, they changed the world. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless. Thank you for the example of John and his unique connection to the Christ child. And then, Lord, a lifetime spent serving the Lord. A lifetime spent serving the Lord. Thank you, dear God, for John. I know that, Lord, we could have gone on to teach how his ministry was in some ways, in our minds, maybe tragically cut short, but God, not in your mind. He came and he lived and he accomplished and he did exactly what you sent him to do. And in heaven, at the judgment seat one of these days, he's going to receive a crown for faithfulness, and he's going to receive a crown for being a martyr. And I'm sure there's other rewards waiting for this most wonderful of all Old Testament prophets. And I pray, Lord, that he would inspire us. Help us, Lord, to lift up Jesus. Help us not to be so enamored with ourselves. Help us to understand that Christ is the important one. All that matters is Jesus. All that we need to talk about is Jesus. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.